Well, how is all of this impacting you and your loved ones mentally? Ros Knight is the president of the Australian Psychological Association, which has published advice for the public on looking after mental health during this period. Welcome to breakfast.
Thank you very much.
What is the advice for people to look after their mental health during this this highly unusual moment?
I think it's really about taking a positive attitude from the get-go. So I know people are very worried about some of the research out there that shows that when you've been quarantined for any length of time, you might end up feeling depressed or anxious or traumatised. But I think the situation in Australia is quite different. We're being asked to self-isolate. We're being asked to choose to do the right thing for ourselves and our community. And that means that there is an element of choice. There's an element of control for how we do this. And I think that makes it very different. So I think it's about really making sure that as best as possible, whether you're self-isolated, whether you're working from home, what steps you're currently taking to try and protect yourself, that you also protect your mental health by trying to have a well-rounded lifestyle still.
Some observations from reading the various literature that's been put out. On the one hand, there, you know, we're being told we must physically distance ourselves, and the challenge then is to remain connected, to continue to have social interaction. And one of the ways that we can do that is to use social media and various devices. But I've noticed a lot of the mental health organisations saying you need to be wary of being on media and social media because it can also create anxiety. How do you strike the balance?
So really, it's about where you focus on your media and your social media and how you stay connected. Because clearly, we do need to stay in touch with the news and stay in touch with what's going on, but probably only a couple of times a day. So while things are progressing quickly, they're not progressing that quickly. So a couple of times checking in with what's happening, where the stats are going, what implications might be for you, but then otherwise focusing elsewhere. So people tending to connect on social media at the moment, if they are already working from home or in social isolation, are using this as a much more positive tool to try and make themselves feel connected, be it having a laugh over, you know, their pets or something else that they're seeing around them, as well as trying to just talk about other things. Remembering that life still continues around this is a really important principle.
In terms of the broader context, obviously Australia's been reeling in some senses from the bushfires over summer. How worried are you about the cumulative effect of all of this?
I think it's true that Australia has obviously been through a period of anxiety already for quite a few months, and therefore we're pretty primed heading into this one to feel anxious again. And that for some people that's going to be very stressful, it's going to be very draining and tiring. And again, it's back to that good self-care. So really, even if you are working from home or you're self-isolating, you should try and stick to a routine, should try and get good sleep, good food, in addition to trying to talk to friends and family. The big tricky one, of course, is how we keep up some exercise or some sort of movement, because of course stress is worse when we're sitting for a long period of time. So we need to be active and we need to have some really good hobbies and projects perhaps ready to do if we think we're going to be stuck inside for a long time.
And from a mental health perspective, how should people handle it when there are differences of opinions about what to do? I suspect every family, every social circle has the people that are being very vigilant and the people that are saying, look, this is overblown. I mean, we hear this daily.
Yes, indeed we do. And it's such a feature of this particular disease that it's so unknown. There's so many things we actually don't know. So I think it's about recognising you want to make sure you stick to the facts as much as possible. So Department of Health websites are an awesome place to just be really clear on what's being recommended at the moment. I think it's about recognising the limits of what we can individually work out. We're not privy to all the information, so trying to stick to what the authorities suggest we do at the moment. Of course, lots of debate at the moment around, as your previous speaker said, around schools and other things. I think it's just, you know your family, you know your context, you know whether you're high risk or your child is high risk. You know the variables you've got to take into account. And making the best decision possible in that time for you and yours is really what matters most.
The Norwegian Prime Minister held a press conference specifically for children this week. I suspect a lot of parents listening this morning will have this question. How do you talk to children about this?
So children do need to have conversations about this. Either they're watching media with parents, or they're seeing social media, or they're being told stuff by their friends, but they don't have all the information, and they definitely don't have all the context to understand it. So they're very dependent on adults and parents talking to them about what the facts actually really mean. And of course, as parents, translating that into language they understand. So I do see it a little bit like, you know, talking about road safety, for example, sure, with your child. You don't over-dramatise it. You just try and get the key messages and help them know what to do.
Ros Knight, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Hamish.